world is enhancing its power. You know, in the Old Testament, a nation was judged by its king. Unfortunately, our President Obama has been well known for hiring open anti-Semites. They openly admit it. One case in point, her name is Samantha Power. That's Obama's advisor on foreign policy, who I heard with my own ears, says that we should stop helping Israel and instead invest in the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Genesis 12:3 says, you know, if whoever blesses Israel, I will bless. And this is not good.
Not good.
But she is married to a man named Cass Sustine. You might have heard us talk about him before, but he advises him also, and he's very close with George Soros, who wants an open society, which is just another title
for the world government. Yeah. That's the code word.
Yeah. But it's in the Bible.
It sure is.
And it's called...
What's it called? It's called prophecy. Oh, I didn't mean to start a controversy there, but that's called prophecy.
And it's all part of God's greater plan for the end of days, just prior to the millennial kingdom on earth, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's going to be the end of the world. No.
Oh.
It's just going to be cleaned up.
Yes. It's going to be swept up pretty well, I think.
You know, I just heard yesterday about our milk supply. I guess primarily comes from the farms in California.
Mm-hmm.
And they have now found low levels, thank God, of radiation in it. From the cows eating the grass, okay, and it's probably from the wind blowing from Japan, which everybody said could happen.
Yes.
But wouldn't that also mean the produce? I mean, I have gotten produce, like, from California often.
And I'm kind of a big milk drinker myself, so that's kind of, that can be worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at levels right now, I don't think, where it could be really harmful.
That's what they say.
But it's not, the levels aren't going down.
Right. But again, the Bible talks about food shortages and astronomical prices. Is that because we can't eat it due to radiation from earthquakes?
Mm.
Which, by the way, is continuing every day. And more major ones are coming. But how do we know that?
It's in the Bible. And it's called, get this, prophecy.
Ah. And just like all the ethnic wars, which is really what's happening in the Middle East right now, is ethnics against ethnics. And rumors of wars.
Rumors of wars. And you know what? That's in the Bible, and guess what it's called?
Prophecy.
You're so right. Sheila, doesn't the Bible also say that the end of days will be marked with a huge increase of knowledge?
Well, it certainly does, John. In Daniel chapter 12, think about this, listeners out there. In the days of Solomon, way back when, they traveled at the speed of horseback. He communicated by a foot messenger. And his clothing was through their simple agriculture. Still, jump ahead, 3,000 years later, Abraham Lincoln was doing the same thing.
Pretty much the same
thing. So not much growth in knowledge, would you say?
Yes, I would say that.
Yeah. But today's generation travels at the speed of sound. We communicate by the speed of light. We clothe ourselves with molecules designed in a laboratory. And every week there's a new gadget, better TVs, which, by the way, I didn't have till I was 5 years old. And now we have cell phones that write letters and is a computer.
Blackberries. Oh, yes. Isn't that? That's just wild.
It
but you know
wild.
What? This is in the Bible. And you know what it's called?
Prophecy.
Wow.
But I think it's, yeah, you know, we really should be reading more prophecy and understanding the Bible, which doesn't seem to be happening much
today.
Well,
it's not popular with a lot of big denominations because it's controversial.
Yeah, well, it's only because people aren't really studying.
Right.
But anyway, this is, the next news is very, very serious and oh my gosh. And probably most people know this because it was on national TV, but the Muslims are calling for a third intifada against the Jews in Israel. And now they have the internet to help them. It's been posted on Facebook and various other Muslim web pages and still up there and actually getting a lot of response from millions of anti-Semitic supporters.
Yes, they're all coming out of the woodwork right now. And these are the radical, militant Muslims. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did this once before. The first Palestinian Intifada began in 1987. And then there was a second one, which began in 2000, which is the one I remember the most.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
But now technology is in full force. So this proposed third Intifada is supposed to begin on May 15th, which the Palestinians call the day Nakba Day, which, or Catastrophe Day, because it marks the anniversary, the day after the establishment of Israel in 1948 when it was a state. And another message, now this is important to know too, because this is what's on these web pages. One of the people, a Muslim administrator, I guess, says this, quote, "Paradise calls you. I ask everyone to come out on May 15th. Do not say I can't. For once, at least do something to help the Muslims. Martyrdom calls you." Wow.
Wow.
And then they give some very detailed plans on how they're going to be doing this.
Well, you know what, saints? This is in the Bible also as well. And guess what it's called? It is called
prophecy.
Okay.
We have a prophecy in Psalm 83 that we've been talking about for the, oh my gosh, for almost a year. I knew it was coming. And this uprising that could be starting here on May 15th could be actually the catalyst of this major war that Psalm 83 talks about.
And this is sure has all the players mentioned in Psalm 83, that's for sure.
It does, and we've talked about it many times. And if you want to hear it, just go to my archives on the web and mm-hmm. look for Psalm 83, and you can hear the program. But I am reminded when they start talking like this to attack Israel, I'm reminded of Psalm 2. Now, yeah. I went to the original, the Masoretic text, as close to the original that we have, which is pretty good. And it says, "Why have the Gentiles raged and the people are meditating emptiness?" Emptiness. They're talking about something that is just going to be vanity. Futile.
Yes, it's nothing. It's futile. Yes.
It says, "The kings set themselves," which means stand strong, "and the rulers have met together against Jehovah and his anointed one."
Hey,
John, who do you think that the rulers would be?
Well, how about the rulers that when all the rulers get together and decide what they're going to do, they're in the UN.
That's right.
Where you find
and
them.
That's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Bible says, they say, "Let us tear apart their bands and throw off their cords from us."
In other words, let's get rid of them, which is exactly what the enemies of Israel want to do.
They are.
And once they do that, they're coming after us.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
we're actually the big Satan, you know,
yes.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 2 says that, I love this, "God will mock and laugh at them, and then comes his wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, people, you better study prophecy. Remember, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10.
Yes, and a special crown awaits those who recognize and long for his appearing. I'm not kidding. Check it out. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8.
That's right. So if you're not studying prophecy, then how can you be longing for Christ to come back? Because you don't have any idea when he is.
Because you don't have any idea where he is. Well,
yeah. Or recognize the sign.
He is at the door.
But these rulers, or the UN, right now is about to make a final resolution to give the Palestinians their own state right in the middle of Israel with part of Jerusalem as their capital. This for the first time, now let me reiterate, for the first time ever, will be done completely apart from any negotiation with Israel and without making any concessions or promises of peace. Now, the only way they can get away from that is Obama would have to veto it.
But you think he will?
I believe he will not.
Hmm.
Sad to say. Events are moving rapidly toward this crisis point.
Oh, I'd sure like to know. What is Israel doing about this?
Well, they are doing something. In the face of a changing Middle East, the Israeli Defense Force, they actually have a new chief. His name is Benny Gantz.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been holding war games this week using ground, air, and Navy branches aimed at preparing the military for all-out war against the enemy like Hezbollah, Syria, and Hamas. The exercises did not include live fire, but was held to drill the commanders and their decisions in the event of a large scale war on multiple fronts, with an emphasis on interoperability and operational continuity. Chief Gantz said, and I quote, "The drills are part of our need to retain a level of readiness." And they have now, by the way, deployed counter-rocket defense systems like the Iron Dome. You might have heard of it.
Yes, we talked about that on one of our programs, too.
To protect the closer missiles that are coming in due to the numerous recent mortar attacks from Gaza.
Yes, and I think there was 50 attacks, and that's just in one day alone, and that's recently. And then what does Scripture say about dividing his land?
Particularly Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We know that Jerusalem is going to be the stumbling stone to the nations, and it certainly is. Zechariah 12, 2 and 3 says that. It's a cup of trembling to those who lay siege to it, is what the Bible says. But also in Ezekiel 36, like Joel 3 and Obadiah, in essence, they're all saying the same thing, that God will judge those who with spiteful minds have taken and divided up his land. And they've done it with wholehearted joy. But it goes on to say in Obadiah that they will be as though they had never been.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we know the outcome, and that's why.
We have the Bible, and that's prophecy.
That's right.
And that's the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yeshua. So
amen.
That's your testimony, folks.
And you know what? And I've said this before, too, but it needs to be said again. Don't rely on where you go to church to teach you end time prophecy. This is something where you need to do yourself, your own homework. Just believe what it says. Don't symbolize it or allegorize it. Take it literally and learn just a little of your Jewish roots. And, you know, I said this again before many times, too, but our religion used to be called Judeo-Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, the Judeo got lost.
Yes, it sure did, unfortunately.
You know, but that is our roots. Our Jewish roots is Christianity.
Well, yeah, and the Judeo part would be what, like usual customs?
Yes.
Their holidays and expressions of the day during the first century.
That's right, the first century. And you have to be careful with that. And you don't want to study it, like through the Dark Ages, because things have changed.
Right.
You know, not a lot, but you stick to the first century. And you know what? There's a lot of books about it. You can just find them on Amazon and all that. First century Judaism.
Yes.
George Foote Moore is one of my favorites.
I'm glad you keep bringing his name up, because I keep forgetting what it is. George Foote Moore.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Oh, the enemy, who speaks in our ears more than I'd like to admit, but he'll try to tell you, oh, you don't need that, or you shouldn't do it, or it's too hard, or it's too overwhelming. Believe me, it's not. It is not. It is not. It is not.
It's the more you see it when you read your Bible, if you're looking for it, the more God will show you through the Holy Spirit.
That's right, and he leads you to the right teachers.
He'll lead you to the right teachers. Yeah. He led you to the right teachers.
He certainly did.
He led me to the right teacher.
Right.
And
right. And if you're listening to this radio show today, he's just led you.
That's right.
I also realize there are those in Hebraic roots that take it out of balance and say, oh, well, we need to adhere to the old law. But the new covenant confirmed in Galatians frees us from that. But God still wants us to understand what they had to do, and even more so that we could appreciate what Jesus did for us.
And you know what? Just knowing some basic Jewish principles will help you further understand the end time scenario. You don't have to be a brainiac.
No, you really don't. But again, people think you do, and then they stay away, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the great, great examples of knowing just a little bit of Hebraic roots is just understanding the major holy days that God gave them in Leviticus 23. They were appointments to keep. God said that.
Why? Why did he say that?
Well, because some year, Jesus would arrive to keep these appointments, which he has already done with the first four, the feast days in the spring.
And arrive he did.
He did.
In person. And yes, and we did a detailed explanation of these appointments last year. And you want to find out about it, just go to the radio archives on the webpage, shofarministries.net, and click on podcasts for 2010, beginning on March 20th. And the following 3 weeks, are all about the spring feast in more detail than we will have time to do today, obviously.
Right.
But we can summarize it for you when we come back.
That's right.
After our break. But Sheila, could you give us an update on all the civil unrest in the Middle East before we go there?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's try to keep it simple because there's so much details going on and it's just almost too much to even have to worry about.
Well, it sure makes your head spin. I know that.
Yeah. But to keep it simple, Iran has its proxy instigators stirring up the people in the Middle East so to produce chaos because the leader of Iran, Ahmadinejad, believes from their sacred writings called the Hadith, which is post supposedly right from Muhammad,
yeah,
that chaos is a must for the Mahdi, their Messiah, to appear. Now, we sort of believe the same thing. The Antichrist is going to come to chaos and give peace. You know, we're going to hail him and blah, blah, blah. But so much unrest in the world that when this man of perdition that we know, the Antichrist, comes, he will have all the right answers. And then again, like I said, we'll have that pseudo-peace for a short time.
A fake peace. Sheila, do you think that this Mahdi could be the Antichrist?
Well, you know, some people think so. But I really don't, because I believe that Psalm 83 has got to happen before the rapture. And when that does, it's going to be a whole new ballgame. You know, Israel will have clout. She will have expanded her borders. Now her borders will not have walls, as Ezekiel 38 talks about. And Europe now will actually desire to sign a peace treaty with them. I mean, let's face it, they're going to come against their close enemies and they're going to run for their lives.
I think so. God's going to fight for them, and it's going to turn out very badly for them, for the enemies, that is.
Yeah. Now, the signer of the agreement that I believe Europe will want to sign will be the Antichrist. And it will be someone that they would never think could be. But remember, at that time now, we won't be here to tell them. Okay, so I think Iran will be in their place, will be put back in their place until the War of Gog and Magog then in Ezekiel 38, which I believe will happen probably towards the end of the first half of the tribulation, because there's a famous phrase in there, and it says, in that day, so we know we're not going to be here for that.
Correct.
And what's also interesting is that Scripture names Libya as joining in. Do you know who else will be joining in, John?
I think so. I'm pretty sure Russia in this, if you're talking about the Gog and Magog, right?
Yes.
Turkey and the Sudan, which we know as Ethiopia.
That's right, and some small other ones. But I think now in Libya, if Gaddafi goes, the one who replaces him will be very tight with Iran, and Shia will most likely take over Libya, as it will probably and is almost assuredly going to in Egypt. Yemen, Bahrain, Tunisia, you know, it's just like a domino effect.
Sheila, what's you want to talk a little bit before we go in the break about Syria? Now, Syria is experiencing a lot of upheaval right now.
Just started, you know, recently.
Well, yeah,
the
day before
or
yesterday
so.
Or something. Yeah.
Well, the thing about Syria is that, several of the modern states of the Middle East, and Syria is one of them, were actually built on a mosaic of ancient religions. Or sects. Okay, there's a lot of sects. It's hard to say that. S-E-C-T-S. Of Muslims. Okay, and ethnic groups.
Tribes, maybe even, huh?
Yes, right. But they're kind of pieced together in these nations, and the governments have thus far been able to hold them together, you know, trying to keep them neutral, favoring one community over another, though, has sometimes happened. And many Sunni Muslims in Syria and throughout the region feel that Assad, who is the leader of Syria, has unduly favored the Alawites. And this is nothing that you hear about a lot.
No, the Alawites, aren't they they're a group of Muslims as well that we don't hear about. We hear about Sunni and Shia, but Alawite, no.
Right. Alawites is actually a sect of Shia. Okay.
Well, okay.
Now, they only constitute about 12% of the population, but they control a vast percentage of the country's wealth. So, open conflict between the Sunnis and the Alawites in Syria would profoundly disturb the whole region, and that's probably what's happening right now. And this is creating a nightmare for Washington and other Western capitals.
Yes, the balance of power in all these states surrounding Israel is really shifting. And
it sure is. What's the result? It's not going to be better.
Right. The result is that it's not going to be better, and they've managed to use some genuine unrest from people that were genuinely wanted to get away from dictatorship, but that's sort of been just a start so that the Muslim Brotherhood, I believe, can get its foot in the door and get their people into these governments, which
Absolutely.
Is exactly what's happening.
Absolutely, you betcha. So, yeah, we do have to go to a break, but I wanted to ask you a quick question first. And that is, do you know what the colors are of the four horsemen that come in Revelation 6?
That's something everybody should know. And that is, I believe there's the white horse, black horse. Oh, yeah, and a red horse and a green horse, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. White, black, red, green.
That's right. Well, isn't it interesting? That's exactly the same colors of the Muslim flags. Most
no.
of them, yeah, the Palestinians, Jordan, Iraq, Kuwait, Sudan, Syria, and the United Arab Emirates all have those colors.
Let me see that. Well, you're right. You're right. Here's their website. Here's a picture. I'm holding in my hand a picture of what's on their website, and it's actually those colors.
The Palestinian Intifada on Facebook.
Oh, that's the Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right. And there you see the clenched fist.
Whoever thought,
same colors.
Whoever thought that's what Facebook would be used for.
I know, but... Yeah, I know. But isn't it amazing that the four horsemen are the same colors?
Same color as that. Is that
Muslim
what does
flag?
That mean exactly? Is that just a coincidence? What do you think?
I don't know. What do you think?
That's not fair. I asked you first.
I know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well,
it's just straight.
Well, anyway, the lines are going to be open. Actually, they're going to be open right now. And we will come back after a short break if you have a question, and especially on end times. The phone number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And we cover a great big area on WHKW Radio. And if you would like us to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a nice, timely message, just call us with your pastor's name, and we'll give him a call to see when a convenient time would be for him and for all of us to be out there at your church. And just call 440-834-9006. And remember, Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and any and all all donations are tax deductible. Go ahead. You were going to say something about that, too.
Well, I'm just going to say they're extremely important and vital to the Hebraic Roots Ministry. Please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. We would really like to be on the air just a little bit more than once a month. And I need your help to do that.
Yes, and you know what? God will bless you. And the enemies tried to destroy this ministry. We tried to destroy it with a flood. Oh, by the way, I'm glad you're back in your home now after your little flood. So we just, your support, you will be blessed. God blesses when his word goes out. And you can use the PayPal on the website, or just send your gift directly if you'd like to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. Now, all donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter, which is full of gold nuggets and all the current events of these last days right here in Israel, just like what we're talking to now, but you get it first. Now, and why not check out the webpage? All the newsletters and previous radio shows are all there. They're in our archives. And DVD teachings are also available, and you should get the DVD on the Spring Feast because they're coming up in 3 weeks, and it makes a great gift, too. So once again, those numbers for your end time questions is 888-677-WORD or 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after this short break and a great song by Amy Safira from Mentor. How about that? It's called For Such a Time as This. No, it's not. It's called The Via Della Rosa.
For Such a Time
for
as This.
For Such a Time as This.
Stay with us now.
Thank you. dolorosa al Calvario.
Back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That beautiful song was sung by Amy Safara. She is the daughter of a great pastor and our friend. I don't know if we should mention his name, but
Pastor Porostowski out in Mentor at Lakeshore Assembly of God.
Lakeshore Assembly of God.
Which I will be speaking at in May.
And what a song, though. And what a beautiful voice she has.
What a beautiful, yes, absolutely. And how fitting for this time of year, because we're about to enter into the season of the spring feast.
Mm-hmm.
And in Leviticus 23, I hope you will read it if you haven't, God gives seven particular times. And they're called feast days, but when you look up the word feast, it actually means rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mikra, the word is,
that's,
I believe.
That's right. And they're appointments. They're appointments of God with his people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look real closely in Leviticus 23, it doesn't say they're the Jewish feasts. They say it's the Lord's
feasts. They're also called moeds, which mean appointments, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same word they used about the tent of meeting.
Okay.
In the tabernacle.
Okay.
That's where God's going to meet you. And it certainly came true where he actually came to meet us how many times in these feasts?
Four.
Four times.
Yeah,
already.
Out of seven. Do you think maybe he'll finish the last three?
That seems to be the pattern, doesn't it?
I would say, duh.
Yeah. You're not supposed to say that.
I know. It's my favorite expression sometimes.
I know.
But, you know. All right. So let's name, first of all, I'll just name the seven, and then we'll talk about the first four, because those are the ones that are already fulfilled and the ones that we'll be memorializing coming up the end of this month.
Okay, great. Well, that took us four shows to do before, so let's see if we could do it in 20 minutes.
Yeah, let's do that. This is only a summary. I mean, I don't want to do the same thing I did a year ago.
Right.
Especially when we are so blessed to have it all on the computer, and all you have to do is go back, radio podcast, hit the date, it's all labeled,
yes,
and listen to it.
Listen to it
in detail. Or you can order my DVD, which is all on one DVD.
And the nice thing about that is what? You can have it and listen to it over and over again and give it to a friend or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we really ask for a small donation. It's very affordable, and I do that on purpose because I want people to be able to learn.
And we know times are tough, and money's hard to come by these days for a lot of us. But
yeah, me too.
God's work, God's work needs to go on, and that should be a priority in all our giving. That's where our rewards are going to come from. A lot of them in heaven is what we spent down here in God's kingdom.
Yeah, we're storing our treasures in heaven.
That's right.
Very plain. Okay, we've got seven feasts. The first one's Passover. Then we have unleavened bread. Then we have the Feast of First Fruits. We have Pentecost. And then the last three, which are still going to be fulfilled, except for one that has a double fulfillment, is Rosh Hashanah, which is the birthday of the year, birthday of the world.
Yes.
Day of Atonement, and also Tabernacles, which I believe Jesus was born on Tabernacles.
That's
so
right.
That's going to have a double fulfillment. But let's go back to the first four.
Well, that's right. He did fulfill that, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the first one is Passover. Now, what's interesting about these feasts is that it had a historical application as well.
Right.
And that was so that the Jews could remember the historical application and do the feast every year in regards to that. But Jesus would come and fulfill that himself on their same dates of the historical application.
Yes.
Pretty amazing.
Yes, it is.
Passover is the first one. What would have been the historical aspect of that one?
Passover, the historical aspect? Well, it would be the crucifixion, wouldn't it, or no?
No, that's a messianic fulfillment.
That's a messianic fulfillment. Well, the historical then would be the deliverance, of course, from Pharaoh's army and through the Red Sea with Moses, right?
Okay, you're jumping ahead a little bit, but Passover is actually when they put the blood on the doorpost.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that if the angel of death saw the blood, he would pass over it and not kill the firstborn.
It's a little more basic than what I was thinking. Yeah,
that's
but that's
right.
Really, that's the crux of it right
that's
there.
That's the crux of it right there. Mm-hmm. Now, the messianic fulfillment, as you said, is when actually Jesus did die on the tree. His blood was on the wood.
On that wood.
On exactly the same anniversary date, Nisan 14.
Not a coincidence.
And even more so, his side was pierced at 3 in the afternoon, exactly when they were to kill the lamb. I mean, it's just so amazing how he fulfilled it to the exact moment.
And because he did that, because he fulfilled these so perfectly that only God could have done it. It could only have been God to do this. That's
right.
What makes our salvation so great, doesn't it?
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
You betcha. The next feast would have been Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is actually the next day, which begins at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the actual time they actually left Egypt.
That's the departure.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was interesting is that Jesus, actually, his body was laid in the tomb on the Feast of Unleavened Bread because the next day starts at 6 o'clock or at sundown.
Right.
And that's when his body went in there. So what is that significant, of course, is that he took our sins to the grave, okay, and he left them there.
Yes.
Just like when we receive Christ, we leave our sins in the grave. They're no more with us.
We should consider our old lives to be buried. Dead. And now we live our new life in Christ.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Feast of First Fruits.
Oh, that's the neglected feast.
It is, I guess, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
but
because the Jewish people kind of like ignore it, huh?
Yeah. The Christian world knows it pretty much as...
Well, I don't want to say the word even, that's how much I don't like it.
Well, I know, but it's still the...
Easter.
It's Easter. But actually, even though it has that pagan name, and we know all the pagan backgrounds of it, it's actually... It's really the Feast of First Fruits that came first, and that's exactly what happened on it.
I like to call it Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday, and I hear that, too.
Feast of First Fruits. But isn't it interesting is that that's on Nisan 17, by the way, and that's exactly the same date that they went through the Red Sea.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, and of course, what happened? The enemy was destroyed. And they went on into like being born again, so to speak, into a new life.
Well, you go into the water when you're baptized and considered, you know, born again, I guess, right? Some kind of a baptism, right?
It's sort of, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the messianic fulfillment, of course, is the resurrection of Jesus on the same date, Nisan 17. And by his resurrection, our enemy is destroyed.
Yes.
That's right.
It's proof that he accomplished what he came to do.
That's right. Now, unfortunately, the enemy is still allowed to be here to antagonize us, basically, but he's a done deal.
Yes.
You know, because of what Christ did for us. But then, 50 days later, after they reached Mount Sinai, they had the giving of the Torah.
And that's...
Or the law.
The law.
Or the Ten Commandments, whatever way you want to put it.
Or the two tablets.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on the very first Pentecost.
That's the first one.
That's right.
And they say, too, that you read the text and some of the commentaries say that when the words of God went out, they could see them in flames. They could see the...
Yes, that's true.
Cloven flames, I think it says in the first account.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Because what happened on the...
What happened
on Pentecost after Jesus left?
Well, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, which we couldn't get until Jesus ascended to the Father, they saw on the 120 these cloven tongues of fire on top of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
So, and did this happen on the same date as the...
Yes, it did. Sivan 6.
Wow.
On the Hebrew calendar. So basically, the first Pentecost, they received their Bible, basically, the first law that they ever had.
Right.
And then on the messianic fulfillment was... 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, and he told them to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost, and he sent this Holy Spirit upon all of them.
Wow. And so, Holy Spirit, and we have that Holy Spirit today, so we can live for him.
That's right.
And not get discouraged. We have a power that he's given us. So we have power over sin.
Right. We have more power than they've ever had, you know, the children of God before.
We may not have power over our finances. We might not have power over politics. But I'll tell you one thing we do have power over, and that's sin.
And it's the enemy.
And that's the
you
enemy.
You know, but we don't use it sometimes. We don't spend time in the Word, okay, because it really is the Word that grows our faith.
That's right.
Okay, and we have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit grows.
Right.
With, according to how much time we spend in God's Word. So if you want more Jesus, you want more Holy Spirit, you spend more time in God's Word, and you will become more like Him.
Yes, and you'll have more power to overcome sin as well. So what a great event that was. That was for us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have three more left.
Three more feasts.
Okay, and we usually talk about those in the summertime.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they are Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. It is actually the anniversary time when Adam was created.
Okay.
And that's blowing of the shofar, which is one of the reasons why we're called Shofar Ministries, because I'm waiting for that blowing of the shofar that God's going to blow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to call us home.
And it's a traditional time for the resurrection of the dead.
That's right.
This time of the year on the Jewish calendar, or the biblical calendar, if you'd like to call it that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one that will be fulfilled is Day of Atonement. I believe he'll do that when he returns.
Mm-hmm.
And throw the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire,
mm-hmm.
similar to what they do as far as putting their sins on the goat and bringing them out into the wilderness. Okay. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in a booth, in a sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our modern Bibles say it's a barn or a manger,
mm-hmm.
okay? But it was really a sukkah during that time because they had to live in them then.
Yeah.
And he fulfilled that, mm-hmm. okay?
Some people even gone so far as to say that the shepherds whom the angels announced his birth to were tending the actual sheep that they used for the sacrifices in the temple. That's the sheep that they were watching.
Okay.
Sacrificial lambs for. Am I wrong here?
No, it's good.
Oh, okay, but I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also the Messianic fulfillment then, of course, is when he fulfills it by entering into the millennial kingdom. On the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles.
He's coming,
season of joy.
It's a season of joy because he's coming again to tabernacle with us, right?
That's right. Amen. And he will.
And he will.
Now, before we close, because we have to leave a little early because of a sports event, but the important thing to remember is there's a spiritual application involved in this, okay?
Okay.
And when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the kingdom of God living inside of us, okay? So we have a spiritual application. The first one is accepting the truth. That's accepting what he did on the cross, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have his righteousness is given to us by his burial. And then our feet are prepared to get to the promised land by his resurrection. Then Pentecost, of course, gives us our faith, and these are all in order.
Mm-hmm.
And then our salvation is sealed, I believe, when we have reached our Rosh Hashanah, okay? That shofar sound spiritually in us by according to how much time we spend in our Word. I believe there comes a time when our salvation is sealed. And I teach this when we get together for Shofar Assembly on Saturdays. But
mm-hmm.
the other thing is then we get the sword of His Word, okay? And that means that we can fight the enemy with the Word of God easily because we know the Word. You have to know it in order to be able to use it.
That's right.
And Tabernacles is our praise and worship, and we do that unceasingly.
Yes.
All right.
Well,
you've got to close.
I'm sorry we've run out of time. Thank you for listening to us. If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're just concerned that you might be one of those who have just the head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction, all you have to do, just get on your knees right now, repent, and particularly of those individual sins which seem to be lingering in your life, then commit or recommit your body, soul, and spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But always, it's your choice to choose him. And that makes it your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where you will go to die. Because the soul never dies. It has to go somewhere. And there's only two places, with God or with the enemy. You decide. Amen?
Amen.
Hosea 6:6 says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Why? Do you have a question for Sheila, or you'd like her to speak at your church or group? Just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And any of your donations, as we've mentioned before, extremely important, especially right now. And a great study for beginners, don't forget, on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, available on the webpage, shofarministries.net, or just call 440-834-9006. Yevrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, March 31st at 3 o'clock. Be here.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.